Philippians chapter 2 and verse 4, the Apostle Paul writes, each of you should look not only to their own interests, but also to the interest of others. And then he writes that we should have the same attitude as Christ had, and then he encourages them to be to continue to live in obedient lives, and they will surely be shining stars. And they'll certainly be shining stars because following Paul's teaching is very difficult. It's difficult today. It was very difficult then. And that's not a reason for us not to do it, but it is an acknowledgement that it is difficult to follow the teachings of Jesus, not only in action, but certainly in attitude as well. And we've been talking about that a great deal as we studied the Sermon on the Mount, is Jesus deepens the teaching of the law. But I want us to look and see what Paul's going to write about two gentlemen, Timothy and Epaphroditus, in the second chapter of Philippians. But against that teaching of verse 4, to esteem others more highly than we ought, here's what Paul will write about Timothy, and it's interesting. I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, that I also may be cheered when I receive news about you. So Timothy's going to take news about him. He hopes they're encouraged, and he wants to hear good news from them, that what his teaching that he's done has not been in vain, and that they're continuing to be obedient at Philippi. I have no one else like him, talking about Timothy, who takes a genuine interest in your welfare. For everyone looks out for his own interest, not those of Christ Jesus. Paul had said we should look out for the interest of others, and then he commends Timothy because he says he's a guy that does it. He puts Christ first, and he looks out for your interest. I'm sending Timothy. Again, as you know, always there are just a handful of tremendous comments and compliments in the Scripture. And this is one of the greatest because Paul has written, this is what we ought to do. And he says, Timothy does it. But his interest, he says, for everyone else looks out for their own interest. Now, Paul is not discouraged. Remember, this is about being joyous. But Paul's realistic, isn't he? Most of us and most of the folks that Paul dealt with, what did they have to deal with? Excuse me. Selfishness. Self-centeredness. Our own desires. That's one of the toughest things to overcome, isn't it? You know, we desire to do good, but it's hard not to look out for ourselves first. When push comes to shove, it's hard not to be selfish. And Paul says of Timothy, but here's the guy. I'm sending him to him because I know this. He's going to look out for you, and he's going to be about Jesus' business. First and foremost. Now, Timothy wasn't a perfect man, but he sure had a lot conquered, didn't he? That he was putting into practice. Now, our encouragement is, I want us to be like Timothy. And sometimes it's easy to say, well, it's really difficult and doesn't look like it's something you can get done, so I guess I'm in good company. Have you ever heard somebody say that? They might not say it in those words, but sometimes it's our excuse for not striving, isn't it? It's not unattainable, but it's difficult. It is difficult to put aside our own interest and think about the interest of others. And we intend to, but it's difficult. But Timothy was able to. Timothy was able to look out for the interest of others, to honestly esteem others greater than himself, and to be about the business of Jesus. What was Jesus doing at age 12? Being about the Father's business, wasn't he? He was perfect. Not only did he not commit sins, those sins of commission, but he was about God's business. He was about, first and foremost, doing what God would have him to do. And Timothy was doing the same thing. Paul is sending him so he can encourage and strengthen and help the Philippian church. And he knows that Timothy will do the right thing. Because why? Why does he know it? Because he has proved himself. This is an aside for the English people. I never know when to use proved or proven. I'm sure that's accurate, it's proved, but if I were writing it saying, I'd say Timothy has proven himself. He's proved himself. I'm not sure what's accurate. I need to research that because I'm deficient on that word as well as many others. But he has proved himself because as a son with his father, he has served me in the work of the gospel. What's the relationship Paul and Timothy have? It's close as family, isn't it? It's close as family. He's like a son to me, Paul would say, and he has served me. I know what he's about because Paul is not in the greatest of circumstances, right? And Paul will send Timothy. In our study about elders and deacons, we've read a lot from Paul's writing to Timothy, hadn't we? Now, does Timothy have some struggles? Think about it. Sure he does. We know that. But one, even Timothy has some struggle in faith, doesn't he? Because Paul will write to Timothy, rekindle, fan into flames the faith that was in you. It was first in your grandmother and also in your mother. And I know it's also in you. Rekindle that. So as we look at that, Timothy's a real live guy among people who were all struggling. But Timothy had learned not to be selfish and to put others ahead of himself and to be about God's business. And Paul commends him for it. And he had served Paul in his ministry in Rome. And that's what Epaphroditus is doing. The Philippian church had sent Epaphroditus to minister to him while he was there to meet his needs. They couldn't all go, so the church sends him to help take care of Paul because Paul is in a time of need. Not only are they ministering needs, but they're getting word in and out to Paul because Paul is continuing to do what? Be about the ministry, isn't he? About teaching about Jesus. That's important because what might you want to do if you were Paul? Give up a little bit, right? Say, well, I just can't do, I want to do this, but here I am. But Paul is doing what he can from where he is. So, Timothy, I am sending because he has proved himself in his service to me that this is a man who will look out for you, not for himself. We hear a lot of people say, they're looking out for me. There's a zone where we're looking out for you. But the advertisers and the ratings help. The worst commercials in America today are by folks, if we just call them, they'll look out for us and get us the settlement we deserve, right? But here's a guy who truly getting nothing for himself, although we know that Timothy was taken care of in some ways. I mean, he had to live. But that Timothy is looking out for what's best for others. I hope, therefore, Paul says, to send him as soon as I see how things go with me. And I am confident in the Lord that I myself will come soon. Paul's hoping to be able to go to Philippi himself to be released. But I think it's necessary to send back to you Epaphroditus. Now, before we read on, why does he need to send back Epaphroditus? Epaphroditus is there to help him, sent from the Philippian church. What's happened to Epaphroditus? Do you know? Do you remember? He has been sick. He's been extremely sick, and now he's better. But the Philippian church has heard about how sick he was, and they've been very concerned about him. And it's almost like, I need to send him back so you can see that he's okay. I know you're concerned, but I need to send him back. Who also has been my fellow worker and fellow soldier, who is also a messenger whom you sent to take care of my needs. I want to stop here just a second, because we learn a little bit about how the early church worked, don't we? That they did cooperate and help each other. That they sent this man maybe with some financial assistance, but he was there just to help Paul. He was sent to say, you go help take care of Paul in the needs that he has. For he longs for all of you and is distressed because you heard that he was ill. Indeed, he was ill and he almost died. But God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but also on me, to spare me sorrow upon sorrow. Paul is an apostle, filled with the Spirit of God. But when we talk about how the Spirit works, and this is important, could Paul heal everybody? Obviously not. But he had prayed for Epaphroditus, and Epaphroditus was healed, had recovered. But sometimes we read and think that they were just laying their hands on people and people were being healed and raised everywhere. And we know Jesus was able to do that, and the apostles were able, but not in every situation and every circumstance. Paul is going to write in this letter that to live is about my service to Christ, and if I die, I'd be better off. I believe Paul believed that. I believe Paul believed that. I think he was at a point where he knew that to be with Christ was better. But death still brings a sorrow, doesn't it? Because here's an apostle of great faith who expresses it in a great way, but he rejoices that Epaphroditus didn't die, because why? That would have still brought sorrow. Even though Paul knew that Epaphroditus would be better off, there's still a sorrow that comes with death. Sometimes we feel a guilt as Christians. Well, you know, I shouldn't be there, but there's just a loss that comes with death. And it really is part of the enemy, is part of Satan's power, and there is a sadness to that. So even with the great faith that Paul had, he rejoices that Epaphroditus hadn't died, because it would have brought sorrow as death does. It certainly would have to the Philippians, right? That this man had come to serve, and that he got sick and died. Death still brings a sorrow. Therefore, I'm all the more eager to send him, so that when you see him again, you will be glad and I may have less anxiety. What? Paul? The reason I say Paul is, again, one of, I guess, all of our heroes because of the great faith and the tremendous commitment he had. But I want to send him back to you that you may be glad, because I know you're worried, and that brings some anxiety. That brings some stress to me. This man who is about God's business, a man full of faith, but life just has a certain amount of stress to it, doesn't it? The other night at the banquet that I went to, had a gentleman who's a psychologist from UT who spoke. He's very humorous, but he talked about stress. And he said, there's just, anytime we anticipate something, it brings about stress. Sometimes greater stress, sometimes less stress. And he even did something really simple. He said, I'm going to say 1, 2, 3, go, and I want you to clap. And he said, now that's brought stress on some of you. Because he goes, you don't know who's watching. You're not sure you can clap in time. He said, some of you don't care. But some of you are stressed. But whenever we anticipate something, he talks about it, the first date he went on was hilarious. You know, at the stress. He went and practiced parking, you know, where they were going to go to the movie theater so he could know how to park the car and all things. But the unknown, all of those things bring about some anxiety or stress. And here a man full of faith who still has stress. Because why? These Christians were worried about Epaphroditus, and he knew it. And he had been sick, and that brought a struggle. Now, we shouldn't be overcome by those, and we should trust in God, but still learning to deal with life, trusting in God and working through things and facing those, because Paul even admits, I've got some anxiety. There's some stress that comes with being imprisoned. There's a stress with the sickness of this individual. And those issues bring stress in our lives. And I'm concerned. Now, he's not freaked out, which is a scientific term. That's a medical term, freaked out. He's not freaked out about what's going on. But what I want us to see in this passage is Paul is very real about Timothy, and he's very real about the struggles people have about being faithful. Paul's not writing unrealistic things. This is real. And Paul's saying, I know you're concerned about this man who's sick. It's stressful. I'm glad he didn't die, because that would have brought sorrow. But I know there is an anxiety because he's been sick, and I know you're concerned about him. His family's worried. His friends are worried about him. And again, I want you to see him so there'll be less anxiety. You'll feel better about knowing everything's okay, so you can see him. Welcome him in the Lord with great joy and honor men like him, because he almost died for the work of Christ, risking his life to make up for the help that you could not give me. So this travel was rough, and he endured sickness to do what you can't do. He's come to assist on your behalf, and you need to honor men who serve. All of us have different roles, right? And Epaphroditus had the role where he could leave Philippi and be about service to Paul and thereby service to God. We're called to be servants. To be servants. Jesus said, he who will be greatest among you will be your servant. But we're constantly fighting the struggle about what I want. What do I think's best for me? What are my needs and the needs of those around me? It's a constant struggle. But we need to, as Jesus did, learn to empty ourselves and be filled with God and look best to the needs of others. It's possible. Timothy had proved that he was that kind of person. And all of us can, but we always need to be working and be aware, because Satan will always do what? Try to pull us back into saying, you need to look out for yourself. Those folks aren't going to take care of you. They're mistreating you. You fill in the blanks with how Satan works. But we need to be like shining stars, because we'll certainly stand out when we're about serving Jesus first and esteeming the needs of others. Paul was in prison and needed help, and the church helped him. And Paul is concerned about those individuals, making sure they know what's going on with Epaphroditus. He wants to send them back so that they're not stressed. He's rejoicing that he is better, and he is commending this man Timothy, who he's sending back, who is a man who will look out for the needs of others and not for himself. Not for himself. Jesus did not think equality with God something to be held on to, something to be grasped, but he'd emptied himself to becoming a man, and even emptied himself to the point of death on a cross. Jesus didn't do what was best for him, but he did what was God's will and what was best for us. If you need to come, do that while we stand and sing.